Well, we've been doing a study on wisdom for the past couple months, and there is really so much to say that as I read Stephen Charnock, the Puritan, I could probably go on and on about God's wisdom, but I believe I'm only going to have a couple more sessions in regard to this. I want you to turn with me over to Jude, the book of Jude, verses 24 and 25. I want to speak to you about the essential and personal wisdom of God, but I want to do it in relation to the wisdom of God in relation to what He does in our lives as Christians following our conversion, the way that He leads us and guides us into all the truth. This is really quite an amazing doxology that we have here in Jude 24 and 25, where Jude is extolling the Lord Jesus Christ, and indeed the Father and the Spirit as well, but most specifically the Lord Jesus Christ for His mighty grace. And he says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." In studying the subject of the wisdom of God, we need to have faith in God as being wise in regard to every aspect of our salvation from beginning to end. The Lord, it says here, is able to keep you from stumbling. Now, you recall, it says in the book of James, chapter 3, verse 2, that we are not many of us to become teachers, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment from the Lord. But then right after that, it says, "For we all stumble in many ways." And yet here in this verse, Jude is saying to us that the Lord is able to keep you from stumbling. Which really is quite the extraordinary statement, is it not? The Lord is able to keep you from stumbling, which implies certain things. It implies, as we should understand, that our faith had a beginning when the Lord caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we placed our faith in Christ when we heard the gospel. We realized our need to be saved from our sins and to have Christ in our life, to be able to teach us and to lead us and to guide us and to help us into all the truth of the Word of God. And you and I need to understand that when we become Christians, we are setting out on a journey. And the journey is to not only learn more about God, but it is to learn our own heart. And it is to learn how to face temptation. And temptations not only of the flesh, but also of the mind. And to be able to overcome the schemes of the devil and to overcome the world. Now, Jesus has overcome the world. And Jesus has overcome the devil. And Jesus is well able to keep you, it says here, from stumbling. And by the way, dear Christian, you ought to praise Him that is so. Praise Him this very day that the Lord is able to keep you from stumbling. Now, I want to examine this just for a few minutes and say this, that I believe that when Jude is talking about stumbling here, he's talking about in all kinds of different occasions of stumbling, but most specifically he's speaking of stumbling in relation to final apostasy from the Lord. That's my conviction as I look at this passage of Scripture, and I've looked at it quite a bit this week. That's how it is reading to me. It's not as though that the Lord can't keep you from stumbling in littler things, but the Lord will keep you in the biggest of things. And we need to believe that with all of our heart. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil, and He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forever. Now, all these temptations that you and I face, all of these failures that we experience in the Christian life, if we are a true Christian, these things are a reality that we have to face day by day, day by day. And we do not face them on our own. We face them with Christ. We face them with Christ in our heart, working in our heart and our mind by the Holy Spirit, and doing wondrous things in us that we cannot comprehend by His grace. To turn our thoughts in the right direction, to show us ourselves and our sinfulness, to show us His strength and His power. That where we are weak, we can become strong. Christ is with us. But I'm saying we do not deal with these temptations on our own, or on the basis of our own strength, wisdom, or power. With the person who is trusting in Him, God will so work in preserving His people, and by His Spirit to sanctify them, that is to set them apart to holiness and to His working within them so that they'll come to holiness, that is to a love of what is pure and right and true and lovely, and what is the pursuit of righteousness and truth in their lives. And God is going to be teaching, and Christ is going to be interceding, and the Spirit is going to be working in relation to all of your life, dear Christian, to bring you to the place of greater Christ-likeness and to a place of more effectual service to Him, which is what I'm sure every true Christian sincerely desires. And we need to look forward to what He's saying here, that He would present those who believe in Him, He would present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. What strong words. I mean, what strong statement this is, to think about the idea that we, who are so sinful in so many ways in our hearts, we all stumble in many ways, that the Lord is so teaching us through and in this life that He will lead us to the place where we are stumbling less and giving glory to Him more for the great things that He has helped us to see change in our lives in terms of those sinful things, putting them away and repenting of them and not glorying in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. And that's what the Lord would have us to do, so that we would be reminded of what's coming. Be reminded, dear Christian, of what's coming. That someday the Lord Jesus Christ will present you faultless. And on what basis can He do that? Well, He can only do that on the basis of what He did in His obedience here while He walked the earth on your behalf. dear Christian, and his suffering and dying on your behalf, so that you then could know the reality of his Spirit's working in you, changing you from one degree of glory to another by his Spirit, so that you really grow up into Christ. You're growing up into Christ. Now, you may not realize this. You may not even... In fact, the older I grow as a Christian, I've known the Lord for 41 years now. I look at my own heart and I think, boy, am I making poor progress. That's how I see myself. In many ways, I'm making pretty poor progress. But I also can say that by the grace of God, I am what I am. And the Lord is working with me and in my poor heart so that I might come to this place where I can see the reality of this, what we're talking about here this morning. In verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, because he is. He is able to keep you from stumbling. And I believe that with all my heart, and I hope that you believe that with all your heart. That is, that when you face various temptations, you don't have to sin in your heart and your response to that temptation, but that Christ is more powerful than that. More powerful than you with your determination to follow him. Is your determination wrong? Well, no. No, your determination to follow him is good. But your faith does not rest on your own determination to follow him. Do you see that? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless. Now the goal of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the way, he's not going to give up. He isn't going to give up on you. The goal of the Lord Jesus Christ is to present you faultless. And as you trust in him through this life's journey, you will find the reality of that. His preserving, his keeping of you, his gentleness with you, which David says made me great. Your gentleness made me great. Oh, how gentle. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, these things are a reality for the true Christian. And we need to examine our hearts and ask ourselves, have we found rest for our soul? Do we have one whom we can, as John did physically, he laid his head on the bosom of Jesus. But spiritually, do you lay your head on the bosom of Jesus, as it were, and cast your cares on Jesus? For he cares for you. Oh, dear Christian, this is wisdom. And God is, I'm trying to tell you that God is wise in the way that he orders things in the lives of Christians from beginning to end. All along the way, he's wise. In Proverbs 8:12-21, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. We studied prudence here a couple weeks ago. I find out knowledge and discretion. In other words, the right way to do things. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice, and by me princes rule and nobles and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Now, he's not talking about physical, earthly wealth here, is he? No. He is talking about spiritual riches. And dear brethren, I pray that you and I will understand that with the Lord is all these good things. With the Lord is all these good things. And the Lord has his own way of doing things with us, but it's always wise. It is always wise. Always wise. The proposition that Stephen Charnock gives in his work on wisdom, he says, the wisdom of God is the same with the essence of God. Wisdom in God is not a habit added to his essence as it is in man, but it is his essence. It is like the splendor of the sun. The same with the sun itself, or like the brightness of crystal, which is not communicated to it by anything else, as the brightness of a mountain is by the beam of the sun. But it is one with the crystal itself. It is not a habit superadded to the divine essence that would be repugnant to the simplicity of God and speak him compounded of diverse principles. It would be contrary to the eternity of his perfections. If he be eternally wise, his wisdom is in his essence. For there is nothing eternal but the essence of God. And as the sun melts some things and hardens others, blackens some things and whitens others, and produces contrary qualities in different subjects, yet it is but one and the same quality in the sun, which is the cause of those contrary operations. So the perfections of God seem to be diverse in our conceptions, yet they are but one and the same in God. The wisdom of God is God acting prudently, as the power of God is his acting powerfully. And the justice of God is God acting righteously. And therefore it is more truly said that God is wisdom, justice, truth, power, than he is wise, just, and true, and etc., as if he were compounded of substance and qualities. But all these operations of God proceed from one simple essence, as all the operations of the mind of man through various, though various, proceed from one faculty of understanding. I thought that was very, very good. He says, this is another one of his propositions. He says that there is an essential wisdom of God, and there is a personal wisdom of God. The essential wisdom is the essence of God, and the personal wisdom is the Son of God. Isn't that good? Remember how the Lord Jesus is personified in wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8 there? Maybe we should turn over there. We're coming to the end of our time, but let's turn over there and I'll just give you a few more thoughts. I just quoted some verses to you there from Proverbs chapter 8. But it says in verse 22, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. I want you to think of the Lord Jesus Christ as I read you these verses. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, eternally begotten of the Father. when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primeval dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. All things were created through and for our Lord Jesus Christ. I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. Isn't that good? Rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was with the sons of men. Now, this is not wisdom in the abstract. This is the personal wisdom of God. Delighting in the sons of men. I think that's something that we need to take notice of and to rejoice in here today. And then listen to the exhortation that he gives at the end of Proverbs 8. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, who listens to Christ, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and all those who hate me love death. Well, our Lord Jesus is the personal wisdom of God, and he has done great things in his obedience and sufferings. Let us trust in him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your wisdom, which goes far beyond what we could even conceive, and the way that you lead us and guide us as Christians, the way that you teach us your holy ways and bring to our attention the things that need to change in our lives, and bring to our attention your good working in our lives. Help us to trust in you more and more, and to obey you in accordance with your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.